Stephen Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
The USA Freedom Act makes clear the government cannot indiscriminately acquire Americans' call detail records.
This legislation still allows the government to collect everything they want against Americans.
Fighting for Idaho.
It is important that our veterans don't become another political football.
We've not just let them down, we've let them die. This is awful stuff. Somebody ought to be held accountable for it.
Fighting for you.
52.5% are not in favor of the bike lane.
The cyclists don't follow the law. They ride in an unsafe fashion. They don't pay their way.
Boise's bike lane pilot project will continue at least for another week and a half.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Only in America.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO. Oh, it's always good to have some drama. Without drama locally, what would we have?
Well, it would just be another national show.
Well, apparently there's some stuff going on in Eagle. You might have caught it in the front page of the paper a week or two ago. Darcy Holworth with us to discuss this. Thank you for joining us, ma'am.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for getting up early. We appreciate it and coming out here to the rather Spartan broadcast center.
It's a beautiful day.
It is. So tell us a little bit about yourself. And did you ever think that you would be at the center of this controversy or organizing the opposition?
No, certainly not. We bought our home a couple years ago and built out in Eagle. And like all the other neighbors in our subdivision, just enjoyed the spot and really had no clue that any of this was going to come to be.
So you're living the dream. You moved to Eagle, one of the more desirable places in the Treasure Valley. Everybody loves Eagle, Eagle, Eagle. And you're living there, minding your own business. And then all of a sudden, something happens that impacts you in such a way that you start mobilizing folks. So for people that aren't familiar with your story, which is most of us, including your host, it's good if you tell us what's happening there and why it's important to all of us.
Sure. Well, it dates back 15 years. The city got an easement, which is basically the right to travel over private property, and they obtained that for a greenbelt. This was long before the subdivision existed. So 7 years later or so, when the developers came along and decided to put in a subdivision, the city at that point realized, well, there are parts of the easement that are not really accessible. So they asked the developer, and this is all in the development agreement and in various writings, they said, you need to put in a path wherever it comes out of the easement. You need to create a new easement, so and so. So the developer builds the path. The city never recorded any additional easements. Time goes by. Homes get built. And really, the whole path, I mean, there was never an existing path before the developer came along, and then even after the developer built it, it was never maintained. So there really was no use of any path out there. So in the end, what happened was sort of people started using various places. Fishermen were going out there using the river. And we as homeowners came along, bought our properties, built them. There are several properties that are right up against the easement, but you know, they do their title search when you buy your property, and there's no easement on their property. The city now is looking at essentially taking a piece of property across those private property homeowners' land. And what's difficult for us to understand is that there's already this existing easement from 15 years ago. So what we've been trying to encourage the city is go ahead, use the existing easement, and just as was discussed in the original development agreement and in Army Corps permits through wetlands, all those things, they all say use the existing easement, and wherever you need to, take additional land. And we've been working with the city on that for about a year and a half now. And we thought we had resolution. We'd walked it several times with council members, and everybody agreed. And then about September, we kind of stopped hearing from them. And we were waiting for an easement agreement for those little additional areas and some details to be worked out. But that was it. And next thing we knew, they were working down the eminent domain path.
Wow. And you take a look at this now. It's your homeowners, Laguna Point.
Right.
Premier Industrial LLC and Jade Development LLC have rejected or didn't respond to the city's offer to purchase the property. Let's talk a little bit about that. I guess it's 9 parcels totaling 64,000 square feet, about an acre and a half. The mayor here in this article, Jim Reynolds, says that we tried to be reasonable, went all the way. We just want the pathway. They've been very good about delaying. It looked like this was going to go on and on. How do you respond to that?
Well, we have no reason to delay. We've had people out there using that Greenbelt area now since it was paved up to one end. So we've been asking the city to help us because people get back there and it's all underbrush. It wasn't cleared. There was no place. You didn't know where you were. You couldn't see the river. So we were asking for signage. We were asking for direction. We were asking the city this whole time to let's figure this out because people were using it. It doesn't make any sense that we would delay. I have records of us sending email after email and voicemails and please, you know, when are we going to see an easement agreement? When are we going to have signage? And it was inaction on their part. You know, it would seem like it would heat up every summer when people wanted to be out there using the Greenbelt, and then winter rolls around and we wouldn't hear a word. So, you know, I don't understand where they're saying that we're delaying. There were some minor details about surface material, how wide it was going to be that we were trying to work out. But as far as we understood, everybody was in agreement on where the path should be, and everybody agreed it should be as close to the river as possible so that people could get river access.
We have another official quoted saying that his first day on the job was the path was going to be paved, and alleging that your subdivision didn't want it to be paved. A connecting Boise and Garden City, blah, 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 had been.
Right. Well, we found out about that day that he's talking about that there was going to be paving up to our east end. And I believe the city was planning to just pave right through. You know, we don't have – that's between the city and the Army Corps, really, how that works. The Army Corps of Engineers regulates what happens in wetlands. There are a lot of wetlands in that area. There's a huge permit that covers the whole subdivision that the Army Corps issued back when it all started. And in that permit, the developer had to provide wetlands for some of the wetlands that it was taking away. That's called what the Army Corps calls mitigated wetlands.
You've done a lot of research here. You've become quite the expert on this.
Yeah, like it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how did this transformation happen for you? And when did you hear, I mean, you know, going back to this, and everybody here in Idaho or across the country at 580KIDO, they're always worried about this eminent domain because you work hard, you pay your taxes, you work to have that mortgage paid off,
right,
and have a great home, and then all of a sudden the government comes in.
Well, it's kind of a scary thing. I mean, you have private property rights that you figure, you know, you purchase a property, you have the right to use the sole exclusive possession of your property subject to, you know, whatever easements or things might be recorded on it. You don't really imagine, especially in a place like Eagle, Idaho, that somebody's going to come in and just take it from you.
Right.
And especially in a place like this where there's no need. I mean, they're going to spend so much taxpayer money to take all this private property, and they don't need to do it. They have an easement already.
So they already have a place for the path.
They have a place for the path. There are a few little areas that they, yes, have to come out of the easement, and it's going to meander just a bit because the rivers change directions. But we've been totally open to providing that land and creating those additional easement spaces. That's been on the table the whole time. Why they want to ignore the easement altogether and just cross over private property, it doesn't make any sense to us.
580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com if you have a comment on eminent domain. Now, here's the thing that I would like to know about. What's the difference as far as the property owners, if the city goes through with the proposed plan that they have, how will that impact people's land as opposed to the solution that you've talked about?
Well, there are a couple of things. It affects both the homeowners, so now you have...
I mean, people are going to lose their lawns or something like that?
Well, mostly not lawn area. It's mostly wetland areas.
Okay.
So instead of using, you know, the existing land, you're going to now take a piece of the property that somebody paid for.
Will they get a reduction on their... I mean, will they get the return on their property taxes for paying taxes on all that land for all these years?
No, they won't get any reduction, no.
No rebates, or anything?
The law requires that the city pays for the land that it takes. So taxpayer money now is going to be used to buy that land. So that person's going to lose their land. On the other hand, what that land that they're trying to take is, in some places, 50, 100, 150 feet away from the river.
Right.
So instead of taking the easement, which runs right up against the river and having that river access, they're going to be moving people way away from the river. So now when people cross from where the city wants them to be to get to the river, they're again crossing over private property. So it doesn't make any sense. And I think in the end, what the city's always said they wanted to do is provide more river access, which makes perfect sense. But taking the land away from the river and using a path that you can't even see the river, that to us is pointless.
So what has been your experience in dealing with the city one-on-one?
You know, when we meet with them, everybody's in agreement. We've walked out there and we've all, you know, we've all gotten along. We've taken markers out. We've marked where we think the path should be. Everybody agreed. And then behind closed doors, I don't know what's happening. They go into special meetings and
which you're precluded from going into.
Right. We can't know what they're talking about. So after those meetings, it seems like they either go silent or, as in this case, they hired a negotiator and then they wouldn't talk to us. They said
so
we could only talk to the negotiator who didn't have, as he stated, did not have the authority to negotiate anything except for a dollar amount, which to us was not the relevant point. The relevant point was, where is the path going to be?
You bring up a good point, Darcy, but I mean, this is Idaho. We're not talking about California. We're not talking about these other places. When somebody always says something to me, I go, look, you're living in Idaho. You should have communication with people. It's one-on-one. And you would think that a local government that, quite frankly, just got out of a situation with Ryan Neptune and his crazy park and everything else, and the Ada County Commissioners would want to deal with you and your group effectively one-on-one as opposed to, you know, another story in the newspaper.
Right. It's baffling to us. We don't understand why they won't just come back and sit at the table and knock this out. That's how we left things back in September, was we're all in agreement. We'll get an easement agreement together. We're ready to sign it. Let's work out any of the little details about what signs are going to say and those kinds of things. But really, we weren't far apart. So why we went from there to hearing nothing to we're just going to take this other part of land, piece of land that we never discussed taking. I mean, really, we were all in agreement that the path should be by the river. So now the city coming back to us and saying, nope, never mind, we want this other parcel. It's we have no understanding of that. And to go and use taxpayer money to hire a negotiator to go through this eminent domain process when we were all in agreement, you know, 6 months ago, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, we go to the phones. Quite an accomplishment for you. You've got one of our great callers on. We haven't heard from him since the election, and you've brought him out of the depression. It is Tom Muggs joining us at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Tom.
You know,
would you like to say good morning to Darcy?
Good morning, Darcy.
Good morning, Tom.
I feel for your issue. It's happening all over the country. Isn't it amazing that the same story is happening more and more across the entire nation? Yeah. It really is.
I mean, jump in quick with that one.
I have 315 acres in Portland, Oregon, that is being taken away by eminent domain. People are using, I guess the point of my call was, it looks like there's a couple of provisions in the Constitution that talk about the ex post facto law and the Bill of Attainder, and nobody ever mentions that.
Yeah, Darcy, do you know about the ex post facto law and the Bill of Attainment?
I have some understanding of it, but I think
you're keeping up with Tom Munns. That's better than I can do.
Well, I mean, I think in the end, we understand eminent domain from the perspective of building a highway or building a bridge, and that you know, as development comes along, that there are going to be times when a city comes and has to take private property for major construction projects that provide transportation. This one, we're talking about a tiny little gravel path, and it really, all it does is takes people from one end of our subdivision to the other and dumps them on a state highway, and there's no place for them to go after that. So it's just...
Well, they ended up by... The interesting thing that I found that what you were talking about was, you know, you went through this process, or the builders went through the process of developing all of this land. There was no problem, and then all of a sudden, after everything is done, they decide to take your property away.
Right.
Have you guys looked into Agenda 21?
Agenda 21?
Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Taking property, rural initiatives, and moving people into highly densely populated areas. A lot of the sustainable development and all of these walk paths and all that is you might want to look into Agenda 21, because I think that's where the root of your issue is coming from.
Hmm.
But I know it sounds crazy and it sounds tin-headed, but
you're always welcome here, Tom.
So, you know, it is what it is. You know, I mean, I can't just pretend it doesn't exist when it plainly does.
Well, when are you going to talk about the election? Maybe you should call us tomorrow. I'd love to get your take on it.
Well, I can do that. I just didn't want to take up Darcy's time to do it.
All right. Well, we'll do that
tomorrow. I wanted to know, yes. You know, there's people that, you know, we really, we really feel for you. We wish that we could do something for
well,
you.
I appreciate that.
You know, we're all in that position. And but take a look at Agenda 21. If you need some help, I've got some experts that might be able to help you.
I will do. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Our great friend Tom Munns. Take care, brother.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Talking about your powers against eminent domain here in Idaho. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right. 580-KIDO. We continue on. Talking about what's happening in Eagle. What do you say to a lot of people that say, well, this is just an Eagle situation. It can't happen in Meridian. It can't happen in Napa. It can't happen anywhere.
Well, I think that I think that would be nice if we could say that. I don't think anybody can feel that comfortable if the city of Eagle is perfectly happy doing this. Why wouldn't any other city? I don't have any experience with other cities. I certainly never thought it would happen to us. But here we are. So, you know, I think it's something that we all need to be concerned about, and we need to understand what our rights are as property owners. And, you know, we're fighting this because we think it's unnecessary and that it's just not right.
Well, what do you, what's next?
You know, really, all we want to do is get it figured out.
Well, you've got the negotiator.
Yeah, well, the negotiator's out. The city's in. You know, they've taken this to the next level in a court proceeding. We're hoping to avoid that. I just don't think that we need to spend taxpayer money or the HOA money on going to court. I think we can sit down and work this out. We've been asking the leaders of the city council, just sit with us in a room. We can knock this all out. There's no point to this.
So you're going to court, though, if there's...
If they won't meet with us and just put together an agreement like we've been trying to do, then yeah, I guess that's where it's going to go.
What would you say right now on the happen chance that the mayor or the city council, they're listening right now, and I'm sure we'll get a phone call if they're up to their task at wanting equal time here at 580KIDO. What would you say to them directly? And I know you've kind of alluded to it, but speak to them directly.
Well, really, I think that we all are on the same page. I don't think we're far apart. I think we have a few little details to work out. So let's sit down at a table. Let's spend, you know, however long it takes and get an agreement figured out and get a path going through there. I think this could be done in a day. I think that we could have, you know, a path cleared and people using it this week, if we just sat down and got it done. I don't really see that it's going to take much more than...
You think you're missing something? Because if that were the case, wouldn't they have done that already?
You know, maybe. I don't know. There's, you know, so many discussions that go on behind closed doors, so I can't know what their intention is. It's been baffling to us why it's gotten this far. So I don't know if there's some other reason, but there doesn't need to be. I mean, if the real purpose here is to give people greenbelt access and to allow people to use the river to the fullest extent possible, then that can be done. I mean, we could sit down today and complete that.
As opposed to going to court, which could be costly for both the city and for your
Absolutely.
Group and others.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's been too much money spent on this already. It could have been figured out a year and a half ago and at, you know, a fraction of the cost.
Do you think it'll affect the property values if this goes through the city's way?
You know, I think that we all benefit from
Greenbelt. Could people lose money because of this?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly are some privacy concerns, especially with the path that the city's proposing. It infringes more on the privacy of those property owners. I think if we do it right, then it can be a benefit to homeowners and the whole community. I mean, we as homeowners, we understand the benefit of a greenbelt. We're not trying to keep people out.
Well, because if you didn't, you'd have the militant greenbelt folks after you.
Well,
they're a militant group. I see those slappies want.
Well, and we use it too. I mean, I think it's a great benefit to the whole community. And, you know, we're not trying to stop that. We're just trying to make sure it's put in the place that's the most useful to the public and harms the private property owners the least.
All right. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
No, I think I appreciate you having us on, and I think it's just important that this issue gets out there and that hopefully we can come to an agreement soon.
Well, please keep us updated because, you know, property rights are such a big part of not only, you know, local, but I mean, it goes to the very core of the country being established.
Right, for sure. No, thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Newsbeat for MZ, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
When will enough people say, stop this madness? We don't have to live like this. Too many have died. We should say to ourselves, not one more.
There's something wrong with the world today.
He looked directly at me, he talked to me, and then he just shot at me multiple times. And somehow, even though I hadn't even ran yet, he didn't hit me.
We're seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't his.
I ran across the street to go see if someone was okay, if someone was hurt. I end up seeing a body on the ground with, you know, a big pool of blood.
We're living on the edge.
They talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? When will this insanity stop?
All right, good morning. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll hear from Jeff Manasso concerning the violence at the University of California, Santa Barbara. But if, if you're just tuning in, here is what the father of one of the victims had to say.
They talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? When will this insanity stop?
There you have it. And the media probably, not probably, let's face it, more than likely will make this an issue involving guns and whether or not Elliot Rodger had access to weapons. Remember, he stabbed people in addition to shooting people. He tried to get into a sorority house to kill girls who wouldn't have anything to do with him. To me, this seems more like a mental health issue, and apparently his therapist was alerted to his ramblings a little too later, too late to stop him. And if you talk to law enforcement officers here in the Treasure Valley and around the world, they'll tell you that we have a huge problem when it comes to mental health and mental disorders. And with all due respect to the father, as much respect that we can afford him, considering his loss, is it really an issue of guns? And unfortunately, I fear that you're going to have Janet Napolitano. You're going to have President Obama. You're going to have others gravy training on the Stop Gun Express. We'll get to your calls on that in a minute at 580-5436. 580-KIDO, is it a gun issue or a mental health issue? We're joined by Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso with the very latest on this story. Jeff, a troubling case at University of California, Santa Barbara, but thankfully the folks in the sorority house kept the door shut, and that averted even more deaths.
Yeah, you're right. But six people are dead, and their families and their friends' lives are sadly changed forever. And there are a lot of questions that need to be answered surrounding this killing spree, which, by the way, just wasn't just guns, it was knives. So if you're going to include gun control in this conversation, you're going to have to, I know it sounds crazy, but you're going to have to include perhaps knife control. Perhaps this guy used his car as a weapon, controlling cars. I mean, where does it stop? You have to talk about the mental side of this. His therapist was screaming from the mountaintops last month, telling anybody who will listen, specifically Elliot Rodger's family members, who said, look, this guy is a threat to himself and to other people based on some of the stuff we've seen online, his online rants. And so his family alerted police, and police showed up on his doorstep April 30th just to do a welfare check to see what's going on, what's the deal. And they said, look, he's well-spoken, eloquent. He's very nice. He doesn't appear to be the type that's wanting to hurt himself or that he's a threat to others, Kevin. So when all the warning signs are there, then what? There are a lot of questions to be answered.
Well, and that this murderer went multimedia, multi-platform, just the crazy videos that he put on YouTube. But I guess, Jeff, a lot of people put crazy videos on YouTube.
Well, yeah, that's true. But generally, people don't put their desire to kill people and their hatred of others, for their failings. I mean, this guy had a lot of perceived failures in his own life, and that was blamed on others, his relationship with women, his relationship with others, his height. There were a lot of things that made him angry and isolated him, made him isolate himself from the rest of the world. He had some serious problems, and he was seeing therapists as early as what we can see, about 8 or 9 years old, consistently. He had some serious mental issues, and you know, you look at Newtown, you look at Aurora, you look at Tucson, and other cases that we've talked about time and time again, Kevin, and you always look for that warning sign. You always look for that smoking gun. Okay, there's got to be some sort of warning sign, and then if there is, then what if? You know, then what happens? We had the warning signs here. We had the danger signs, and nothing.
Well, you wonder whether or not this will lead to any type of, and it really, Jeff, if it's possible, any type of reform of the mental health system in America, how we deal with this. And look, perhaps this person was the perfect murderer. He would appear sane and logical when the police would speak with him, and then he'd talk in these videos about what he was going to do to people.
Well, there's a lot of psychotic people that are perfectly willing and able to be very soft and spoken and eloquent and nice, you know, Boston Strangler. A lot of mass murderer types are like that. But there needs to be a conversation, I would surmise, that, you know, you have to have the ability to be able to, when therapists and family members are saying, hey, look, you need to do a welfare check. And I'm not blaming the sheriff's department there in Santa Barbara. I'm just saying that some sort of conversation needs to be had, because, you know, you go back a year or so with other mass shootings, and had we had that warning sign, you know, various different warning signs from, you know, Adam Lanza or James Holmes, even though some would argue that warning signs were there, you know, there has to be some sort of ability to reel these people in, to you know, force them to get help. But then again, then you look at our constitutional rights and where that and where that challenges that authority, that ability. And when you talk about gun control, well, you know, this guy had no criminal record. He passed his gun control, his background checks, as he should have, because according to the law, he wasn't, you know, he had committed any felonies, and he was not a threat. So, I'm like you. I just don't know.
Jeff Manasso, we appreciate it. Thank you. Another compelling, tragic story. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Kevin.
Our great friend Jeff Manasso with us here at 580KIDO. Let's go over just some of these cases. And like I said, now, it depends. You know, I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and everybody comes up to me and they say, how did you like the Bundy Ranch? Were you afraid? And most people ask me if I'm afraid, if I was afraid of the feds. And I suppose you never know. I mean, they talked, you had somebody saying that there was going to be a drone strike and all that. And maybe I just have some undying belief in America that I just don't believe that the government would ever do that to us. It comes down to whether or not you're comfortable with people with guns. And if you're comfortable with people walking around with MR-15s and exercising their constitutional rights, you're going to view this story differently than people who are just as patriotic, believe in the Constitution as much as we do, and are uncomfortable with it. Case in point, you have people saying that, you know, this is a, you, well, let's play the clip from the father. Do we have that? Okay.
They talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? When will this insanity stop?
Well, and again, the father has a right to be mad. Does he have a right to blame gun rights? Well, it's in our Constitution. Now, if you have a problem with the Second Amendment, you're going to say, see, there it happened again. There it happened again, a situation that could have been avoided if we had tougher gun laws. But really, this guy was the perfect chameleon. Let me just read a couple quotes from him. Quote, I'll take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you. Now, this was on YouTube. He's the son of Hollywood director who worked on the Hunger Games. He posted this video Friday and basically saying this, I don't know why you girls are so repulsed by me. I am polite. I am the ultimate gentleman. And yet, you girls never give me a chance. I don't know why. of the men he sees as rivals. He said, quote, I deserved the girls much more than all you slobs. And after his rampage, you will finally see that I am, in truth, the superior one, the alpha male. More reaction from the shootings.
I just don't know why this happened to our son. This just doesn't make any sense.
Craig in Boise with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
If this would have been somebody like who had gotten in a car and run people over in Venice Beach last year, I didn't hear any calls for banning of cars or Chevys or Fords or anything like that. I mean, this whole argument is completely ludicrous. I mean, they're trying to blame an inanimate object. I mean, it comes back to the individual and their intent. And you're right on the mental health issue. There's, I mean, and also, I get tired of people trying to think it's a perfect world, whether it's going to be a knife or whatever. Somebody's always going to do something bad, and we think that there's going to be some utopian, beautiful, perfect world where everything's going to be fine and everything's going to be peaceful, and it just doesn't happen that way. That's not life. And a lot of people are just disenfranchised from that reality when they think that way.
I would agree with you, and, you know, what are we going to do? Ban knives? Ban cars? Like you said, Craig, but you're going to have
hammers,
people...
Hammers?
Right, you're going to have people that are going to use this to try and blame the Second Amendment. You heard the father there. You and your gun rights. Wow.
Right, well, obviously that was on the tip of his tongue, or he's a tool by somebody else. But if somebody gets, if somebody I knew died in a car wreck, I'd say... Wow, you know, it's terrible, a car accident. But we're not going to ban cars. You know, how many people are really on the road compared to what happens? I mean, more people are killed, I think. I don't know what the stat is, but gun violence and gun death is way down the list compared to other things that people die from every year. So this is just another politically motivated argument as far as I'm concerned.
Greg, thank you for the call.
All right, take care, Kevin.
All right, appreciate it. We go to Nate in Caldwell at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. Hello, Nate.
Hi, good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Great, sir. And you?
Doing good. Thank you, sir. Sorry, it's been a while since I've called in.
Well, better late than never. Thanks for joining us.
I had a comment. You know, we've been focusing a lot on the mental health of someone that causes an atrocious act. And, you know, I've always found it interesting that we always focus so much on that, but one thing I've learned is that a person's mental health can be directly correlated to their spiritual, mental, and social health as well. They all four form what's called a health square, and so if somebody is lacking in one of those areas, it's going to affect all of the other areas as well. And so I personally believe that the reason why there's so many mental health issues in the United States today is because there's been a deterioration in spiritual health.
Well, take a look at everything. It's all about, you know, worshiping oneself or accumulating materialism. It's not about your fellow man or God anymore.
Well, you're exactly right. And so I personally believe that we all need to take a hard look at ourselves and turn our hearts back to the Lord, and we need to do it quickly or things are going to get worse. And that is the answer to that father's question, when is this going to stop? It'll stop when we've repented and we've started following the way of the Lord.
Nate, don't be a stranger. Thank you, sir.
Hey, no problem. Have a good one.
All right, you too. 580 KIDO, let's get you to traffic now. Good morning.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, we continue on. Kevin Miller in the morning. Quickly to your calls. Terry, good morning. You're at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good.
This is a real tragedy. You know, I watched this, and I'm going to tell you the next shoe to drop. I feel this only because I've been watching the science technology end of all this. They're now able to give someone a shot, which is controlled through nanotechnology, which will control the individual or give them their endocrine medicine or give them their antibiotic or whatever. So I guess the only thing they need to do next is determine who is mentally unfit and then give them the shot, which will last for a whole year, so nobody will miss taking their meds. You know, when I hear that, I think back to last Wednesday or Wednesday before, the director of the FBI, James Comey, told the Senate Judiciary Committee, I believe people should be suspicious of government power. I am. I think this country was founded by people who are worried about government power. Hey, that's where it's at, you know. And, you know, there's one thing constant, and that is, you know, the powers that may be are going to use this to work against us once again.
Well, that, you made the paper there.
Wow. But anyway.
The Jackson Press, how about that?
Can I give a quick public announcement?
Quickly.
Quickly. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Euler Terminal, Caldwell, Minuteman Emergency Response will be meeting. They're going to do more CERT training. They're going to talk about the Russia and China partnership and the International Economic Summit and all the countries that are now standing behind Russia instead of us. And
what does that have to do with the UCB's Santa Barbara shooting, Terry? Good morning, Dave. And quickly, we've only got about 20 seconds. Russell, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. An armed society is a polite society. If someone had had a concealed weapons permit at the start of his rampage, they could have stopped it.
Great thoughts, Russell. Don't be a stranger. We still need to talk.
Okay, we'll talk soon.
Okay, our great friend Russell in CUNA, now in Texas. God bless. Kevin Miller, we'll talk money news next with Dave Petzo, 580 KIDO. Serving Marine.